When I was drifting, out in sin,
I had no peace,
no joy within.
But Jesus came
and made me glad.
The dearest friend I ever had.
When Jesus comes,
the way is bright.
Sad.
The dearest friend I ever had.
He saved my soul.
Bless his name.
I'll never forget that day he came. He makes me glad.
When I am sad.
The dearest friend I ever had.
Oh sinner, come
to Jesus now.
At His dear feet,
just humbly bow.
He'll save your soul,
and make you glad.
The dearest friend you'll ever have.
He saved my soul.
Bless His name.
I'll never forget.
That day he came.
He makes me glad.
When I am sad.
The dearest friend I ever had.
He saved my soul.
Bless his name.
I'll never forget.
That day he came.
Makes me glad.
He makes me glad. When I am sad.
He saved my soul.
Oh, bless his name.
Thank you, man. Best kind of music in all of heaven and earth there. Amen. I wouldn't give you a nickel for some of this stuff they call music. I mean, if it was even plugged, I wouldn't give it to you. Amen? Some of this stuff that people call music today, let me tell you, it's garbage. And it's right out of hell. And I'm glad that God changed my appetite when I got born again. Amen? God said it's time to put the garbage where it belongs, in the trash. And listen to something that'll feed your soul, minister to you, build you up, edify you. That stuff that talks about killing other people and raping women and rebellion and shooting cops. Listen, our officers of the law, you let your children listen to that, that's garbage. I said that's garbage. That's trash. Go into their rooms and take that stuff and take a hammer and bash it up and throw it where it belongs. Amen? You say, what brought that on? Oh, I don't know. It's real. So I don't go in my kids' room. That's their room. Is it under your roof? Amen. Do a check every now and then. You might be shocked what that innocent little girl you think does no wrongs up to. That little fella you think could say nothing wrong or wouldn't do anything wrong might be shocked. I don't want to embarrass my children, but I got shocked a couple of times. Amen. But that didn't stop me from using the hammer. Amen. You say they had that kind of music? No, that was their punishment. Amen. Amen. James chapter 1. Oh, listen, I just believe that kind of music that we, the kind of music that we hear, listen, I'm not saying this style. Gospel music, brethren, feeds your soul. It prepares you for worship. If you don't like gospel music, there's something wrong with you. You say, preacher, has there ever been a time you didn't like gospel music? Yeah. pre-October the 26th, 1980, I hated gospel music. But since October the 26th, 1980, I love gospel music. I love it because it feeds my soul. It encourages me. It edifies me. It prepares my heart for worship. There's times I like to just get alone and listen to music, just shut everything and everyone out. Now, I will say, it's not. Sometimes I like to listen to just classical music, and I know you think that's crazy, but I like to listen to just classical music and just get alone and just listen to music and nothing else. Music is a minister to the soul, but it can also be a teacher. It can teach good or it can teach bad. Isn't that what Colossians chapter 3 says? Music teaches and admonishes. And so you be careful what you listen to and you be careful what your children listen to. You say, well, I don't have any control over that. If you're a parent, you need to take control over that. Teach your children to listen to the right kind of music. Teach your children to read the right kind of material. Teach your children to watch the right kind of programming. It's very important. Live the Christian life before your children. I was watching this morning. I always do this. And I don't do it for any other reason, just it blesses my heart. I watch children in church services. And I wish more of you parents would. Amen. But I watched, I'm just kind of carrying on, but kind of not. I watch children in church services, and I noticed that they always emulate the adult. A child will be standing there, and they're looking up at you, Dad. When you're standing up at the invitation, they want to see if God's working with their daddy. They're looking at you, Mama. They want to see if you're going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. Is my daddy going to do what God said today? Is he going to respond to the preaching of God's word? Is my daddy going to go and yield himself? Children, don't let your mom and daddy living for Jesus be an embarrassment to you. The greatest daddy that you'll ever had is a daddy sold out to Jesus. Listen to me. The greatest mom you'll ever have is a mom sold out for Jesus. Don't let that, you say, that embarrasses me, preacher. If you're embarrassed because of that, you ought to be embarrassed. Shame on you. You need your mom and daddy to live for Jesus. You realize there's people who would, listen, they'd give anything in this life to have a mom and dad who didn't beat them and curse them and scream at them, abuse them, ignore them. God, every day of your life, that your mom and daddy are in church and serve Jesus Christ, you ought to praise Him. And when they tell you, do this and don't do this, this is the way it's going to be, you ought to fall right in line. You want it to be well with your soul now? You want it to be well with you? The Bible says if you obey your parents in the Lord, it'll be well with thee. You know what that tells me? If you don't, it won't. That's what it means. Parents, lead your children. Lead your children. Set the right example. It's very, very important. How many of you believe Jesus could come before this service is over? Raise your hand. I mean it now. I believe that's most of us, maybe all of us. And He may just do that. Now, He may come before this service is over. If He doesn't, and He doesn't come for 40 years, it'd be a shame for this church no longer to exist. What God has done at Fellowship Baptist Church, the lives that have been changed here, the things that have been shaped and molded, the foundation that has been laid, it'd be a shame for 40 years from now for this to be a warehouse or maybe not even be here if Jesus doesn't come. You know how we can prevent that? Listen to me, adults. Train up your children in the way they should go. Train up your children in the way they should go. And when they get older, they'll stick in that training and they'll come to the altar like they've seen mom and dad come to the altar. They'll come to Sunday school like they Remember mom and dad getting them ready to come to Sunday school and bringing them. They'll bring their Bible to church and open it and follow the preacher like mom and dad used to open their Bible and follow the preacher. They'll say amen when quartet gets up and sings "The Dearest Friend I've Ever Had," just like mom and dad said amen when the quartet. But now if you're sitting there scrolling through your phone or thumbing through some book or staring out the window, I wouldn't count on it. Now, I'm not being nasty and mean here. I'm just telling you the facts. Your children are watching when no one else but God is watching. Our children see us. And so it's really important, okay? And I just wanted to lay that out there. I just felt in my heart God would have me to say something about that. I like it when I see children saying amen to good Christian music. Does my heart good. Does my heart good to see children sitting up straight, have their Bible open, they're ready for the preacher to preach a message. That's wonderful. Amen. Children don't do that on their own. It takes good parental training. And it takes children that are willing to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And to realize, you know what? God wants to work in my life too. You see, look at here. Amen. See, this is a good view. I got a good view. Got these young men over here. Man, they're sitting up straight. Got their shirt and tie on, their coat. They got their Bibles open to James chapter 1. Wondering, is the preacher ever going to start preaching out of James chapter 1? Got these young ladies over here. And it's got these nice looking young men over here. Hey, brethren, that's what it's about. 40 years from now, 20 years from now, who knows? Who knows what God has in store for these young people? That excites me to no end. It's exciting. You want the children to get excited about church? We need to get excited about church. You want your children to be bold in your witness for Jesus? We need to be bold in our witness for Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about the Word of God a little bit. Pure religion. Just going to give you a few thoughts here, okay? James chapter number 1 is full of great truth. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is James 1 verse number 5. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I tell you, I need that verse every day of my life. I need the wisdom of God in my life. The longer I live, the more I realize I know nothing except for what God has taught me. I need nothing except for God Himself. And I want to do nothing except serve Jesus Christ with my life. I need the wisdom of God. I used to think I knew a lot. I did. Silly, foolish. But the longer I live, the more I realize how little I know. There is so much in this book that if we could just take hold of it and apply it to our lives, brethren, we could really make a difference in this world in which we live. We look into the world in which we live and people are just, listen, sin is running rampant. Rebellion. These millennials today are full of rebellion against authority. And we're seeing it come to fruition as now they're coming to young adulthood. And it's a sad thing to see what we're reaping in our young people, rebellion against any kind of authority. And it's because they were not taught in their home to be in subjection to authority. The Word of God is final authority in everything we do. You teach your children, you live your life to know if God said it, we're by the grace of God going to do it. Amen? We're going to do what God said. Look, if you would, in verse number 19. Great words, listen, great words of wisdom here. In verses 19 through 21, James says, receive the word. So I want you to think about that. Receive the word in verses 19 through 21. In verses 23 through 25, practice the word. Practice the word, and we'll spend our time in verses 26 and 27. Share the word. All right, but let's look at, first of all, receive. And I'm just going to read these scripture. Look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, all right, that means you, that means me, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. What great wisdom. Let every man hear a matter The book of Proverbs says that a man that will not hear the whole matter before he speaks is a fool. Hear the matter. Listen when someone is speaking to you. Hear it out. Many people, while someone's talking, they're thinking about what they're going to say. They don't even hear it. Be, he said in verse number 19, swift to hear. Get counsel. Young people, let me tell you something that will help you in your life. Get counsel before you make decisions in your life. Go to mom and dad and say, Mom and dad, I'm praying about something. My son came to me tonight and said, Dad, I want to talk with you after the service tonight. I've got an important decision to make about a job opportunity, and I want you, and I've counseled with him before, and he said, I just need to get some clarity. See, I thank God for that. And your children come to you and they ask you for counsel. Get in the Word of God. Amen. Get in the Word of God so that when they come to you, you can give them good, godly, biblical counsel. They shouldn't have to go to some counselor at a school to get counseling. They should come to Dad, come to Mom, come to the godly men and women of an independent, Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist church and get some good Baptist biblical counsel. What does God say? What does God say? Not what's the world doing, not what feels good, not if you think it's good for you, do it, but what does God say? Get some counsel. Young people, seek counsel. Seek guidance. The scripture says that in the mouth of many counselors, a matter is established, you see. Get counsel. You can't always see the cube. By the way, we constantly need counsel in our lives. I have men that I ask counsel from. I have men who ask me for counsel. Adults, listen, it's good to get counsel. You may not always do what you're counseled to do. God may lead you in another direction, but it's good to get counsel from good, godly individuals. Go to a godly source. Be swift, in verse number 19, to hear. Slow to speak, which means, listen, listen to the matter. Meditate, think, and if you're going to be the one given counsel, proceed with caution. Understand that there's a precious soul sitting across from you whose future, whose eternity, whose destiny you could hold in the palm of your hand by the counsel that you give. Take it seriously. When your children come to you and ask you, don't blow that off. You listen, you saturate that in prayer. And it goes for all of us. When young people come and they ask, don't just say, oh, well, and just tell them anything. Take it serious. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And this is something that I think we all could work on a little bit. You know? Somebody said there's two things that'll tell you a lot about a man. What makes him happy and what makes him mad. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. And so be slow to wrath. Some things are not even worth getting angry over. Amen. Some things that irritate us, not ought not to irritate us. Not even worth the irritation. So he said, here's good wisdom. Look at verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. That's a unique word. It means abundance, above measure. Lay aside, he said, all filthiness and abundance or superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Receive the word. Don't just hear it. Receive it. Don't just let it get in your ear. Let it get in your heart. Let God's word get into your heart where it can make a difference. God's word changes lives. If we'll take God's word and allow it to settle into our heart, it makes a difference, doesn't it, brethren? Your life and my life has been changed because of God's word. So here's the first admonition. Receive the word. But that's just the first step. Receive the word. Now there's much more here, but I'm eager to get to the last two verses. Then verses number 22 through 25, very familiar verses of Scripture. Not only are we to just receive the word, But then now we've got to take what we've received and begin to make application and put it into practice in our lives. And so he says, practice the word. He said in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And I'm going to speak more about that in just a moment, because he mentions it again up in these latter verses. So he said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers. In other words, don't just receive the word. Put the word to practice in your life. Let the word of God change the way you live, the way you approach life. Be a doer of the word. Don't just talk about it. You know, it's easy to talk about giving or witnessing or tithing or soul winning or singing or serving. It's easy to talk about what we're going to do, but we must put it to practice. And say, I'm going to do it. By the grace of God, I'm going to serve Jesus with my life. Be a doer of the word. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Don't think, well, if I go to church and sit and listen to preaching, that's enough. No, it's not either. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Now you take what you've heard and now you make it practical and you put it into use and practice in your life. It's not enough just to hear what God says. We must do what God says. Said in verse number 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. In other words, looking into a mirror. And he beholdeth, verse 24, himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want a blessing in life? Start doing what God said to do. When you hear preaching and teaching from God's word, start putting that into practice. And God said, I'll bless your life. When you look into this book here and God shows you change that needs to be made, yield yourself to the leading and the power of God's Holy Spirit, that the word of God would make that change in your life, and by the grace of God, make that change and you'll be blessed. In your work, you'll be blessed in your life. Look how far God has brought you. Look how far God has brought this congregation of people. I look across this congregation, and some of you, I've seen God do miracles in your life. Others of you, I've seen God progress you. I haven't known you as long, or you were saved many years before I began to know you. But just look what God has done in a congregation of people like right here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And can I tell you, this snapshot is emulated across our globe, brethren. There are believers meeting all around the globe in the name of Christ whose life, like ours, has been changed by the Word of God. The Word of God changes lives. Tonight, when I started out to church, I didn't grab an arithmetic book. Listen to me now. I came here to help change a life tonight. So I didn't bring a calculus book. I didn't bring a science book. All right? I didn't bring an economics book or a civics book. I brought this book. Because this book right here is the book that changes lives. Listen, information in those other books are good and they're needful and they're helpful. But they do not change your life. This book changes lives. This book is alive. This is the book of God, the Bible. And so the Bible says you ought to be beholding. You ought to look in God's Word and let God's Word correct you. Look into the mirror of God's Word and God will show you what your need is. He will. Then he gets into a question that I want to answer. What is hot air religion? Well, James tells us about hot air religion. It's a sad thing. He's gone from talking about receiving the word to taking it to another level of now applying the word, and now you're ready to share the word. See, just receiving the word doesn't prepare you to share the word. You will really be effective when you receive the word and then begin to practice the word. Now you're ready to share the word. You're ready to make a difference. Now you're ready to share. Look at what he said in verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, I want to talk to you first of all about the mistakes of superficial religion. James said, you know, there's people who, it's not real. It's just not real. It's just a kind of a motion that they go through. They do what some people call the church thing. They go to church because they got a little girlfriend. Or they go to church because they have a group of friends that they like to hang out with. Or they go to church because it feels a longing so that they won't have to feel a guilt trip for not going. They don't go to worship God. Listen, they're not in church to worship the God of heaven. They're not in church to receive the word so that they can practice the word. They're not there saying, oh, I pray that God would give me something from his word that'll take me to the next level in my Christian experience. That'll help me mature in the faith. I pray that God would feed my soul because I'm lean and I need some spiritual food that'll help me grow in the grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he said, there's that kind of man. And he said, if there's any among you now that seem, and I want you to circle that word, seems to be religious. It's superficial. It's not real. It's plastic. Nothing ever changes. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, month after month and year after year, and it's the same old person. Why? They just seem to be religious. They have an outward adorning. There's nothing real on the inside. There's nothing thriving on the inside. There's no passion. There's no life. There's nothing driving them. There's nothing leading and guiding them. They're not hungering. They're not thirsting for the change that only God can bring. Seem to be religious. These people are killing our churches. They're killing our churches. They're destroying their families. They're a reproach to the kingdom. Because people look at them and say, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real. Because to them it's not. They just seem to be religious. They know all the jargon and all the rhetoric. They're the kinds that show up and say, oh yeah, I know about that. Let me tell you about this. And they have a religious story to share every now and then. And they think they're spiritual. They seem to be religious. But inside, they're full of dead men's bones. There's nothing real. How can you spot that person, Pastor? Well, let's see what he said. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious now and bridleth not his tongue. See, these people that seem to be religious, their tongue has no bridle, no guidance, no discretion. Nothing they say is discretionary. Corrupt communication spews from their mouth. Lies, deceit, filth. I can't ever remember a day in my life the filth that people let come out of their lips in the day in which we live. Filth, brethren. Filth. I'm not saying it's right. But you could halfway understand when an old drunkard man is leaned up against the wall and he's just spewing poison and filth. Brethren, we have women and children spewing out this filth today. Filth. I mean, it's absolutely gutter garbage coming out of their mouth. You say, now why would James say something like that? What is it about the tongue that so arrests James that God said, James, you tell them. And God the Holy Ghost said, write it, James. And he mentions it here in passing in chapter 1. But in chapter 3, he goes in detail. I mean, he commits just about an entire chapter to the tongue. Now, why would James do that, you reckon? Would you think about that for a moment? Why does God want me to know? James alluded to it over here in verse number 19 of chapter 1. He said, you be slow to speak now. You watch that tongue. Be slow to speak. And then he alludes to it a little more in depth in verse number 26. And he said, if any man seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. And then he goes in detail in chapter 3. Your wheels spinning? Why does God want us to know that the tongue tells on us? What's got to pass through what before it comes to the tongue? What's the Bible teach? It's got to pass through the heart before it comes out of the tongue. Right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me, because see, well, you might read this scripture and say, well, what's unbridling the tongue, bridling the tongue? Because what God is really saying here through James is the heart. The tongue shows you a snapshot of your heart. You listen to what a man says, and he'll reveal to you what's in his heart. Matthew, turn there if you would, just briefly. Matthew chapter number 18. I just want to read a couple of scriptures to you. Matthew 18, and then we'll also turn to one other scripture in the Gospel of Luke. Matthew 15. Verse 18, I'm sorry, Matthew 15, verse 18. We'll read a scripture there, then we'll turn to Luke chapter number 6. Matthew 15, this is what the Lord Jesus said about the tongue. In Matthew 15, look if you would in verse number 18. But those things, I mean Matthew 15, verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So when you hear this gutter, ungodly, corrupt language, filthy speech coming out of people's mouths, it's just telling you what's in their heart. You say, well, preacher, I slip up and curse every now and then. Well, if you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says we ought to put that stuff, listen, that lying tongue and that corrupt communication, a Christian ought not be participating in those kind of things. We're Christians. You say, well, when I get mad, I just scream it out, preacher. It's because you have no control over your spirit. You're undisciplined. You don't know what it is to follow God's Holy Spirit and to yield to His leading and guiding, and you're rebellious. And listen to me now. Listen to me. And you're arrogant. And listen, the devil has got a stronghold. You're letting things into your ears and your eye gate, and it brings it right out of your mouth. Your heart is dirty and unclean. And that's why your language is dirty and unclean. Look if you would in Luke. Luke chapter number 6. Luke 6 verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure. Luke 6. I'll give you an opportunity to get there. Luke 6 verse 45. We're talking about people who seem to be religious, who seem to be religious. They come to church. They have a Bible. They call themselves a Christian. I'm not saying they're not. I don't know what's in a man's heart, but I'm telling you what God said. God said, if you cannot bridle your tongue, the gossiping tongue, the backbiting tongue, the tail-bearing tongue, the sharp tongue, the evil-speaking tongue, the tongue of malice, the tongue of corruptness, the tongue of evil communication, the lying tongue, the deceitful tongue. The Bible has a lot to say about the tongue. Why? Because what comes out of your mouth reveals what's in your heart. In verse number 45 of Luke chapter 6, the Bible says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So now we have a little understanding as we go back to James chapter 1 about sharing the word. And he said, if any man seem to be religious, in verse number 26, and bridleth not his tongue, he said his religion is superficial. And he, notice what it says in verse 26, is deceiving his own heart. Is that what the scripture says? He's deceiving his own heart. You know, as I read through the scripture, I find that over and over again, and I want you to do this sometime. I'm going to show you just a couple of places, but I want you to follow up on this. Oftentimes when we think of the devil, and by the way, the devil is a deceiver. He's a deceiver. But we deceive ourselves as much, if not more, than we're deceived. We deceive ourselves. Notice what this scripture says. We'll go back to verse number 22. But be ye hearers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. We've got ourselves believing things that just aren't so. And he said it again in verse number 26. He said, he deceiveth his own heart. If you think you're right with God and you don't bridle your tongue, and your tongue speaks lies and filth and corruptness, you're deceiving your heart. I'm just telling you what God said. And it's serious business. You seem to be religious, but there's nothing real there. It's unreal. Okay? 1 Corinthians, turn there just for a moment in verse 1 Corinthians 15. I'll read a couple of verses of Scripture, then we'll get to our final point. This is the negative aspect of it, I promise you. Hey, man, there is a positive aspect of this. I want you to understand something. God has expectations for His children. Words are powerful. Be careful about the words you use. I wouldn't use some of this stuff that the world uses, brethren. I just wouldn't do it. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with the preacher. Well, it's just, I just wouldn't use it. I wouldn't mimic the world. Jive talking, that's ridiculous. All this rap talking, that's ridiculous stuff. Amen. You say, well, it's cool, preacher. I don't want to be cool. I want to be Christian. I'm a Christian. I want to be holy. I want my speech to be seasoned with salt. I want my speech to be above reproach. Be careful with these colloquials and some of this jive talk, some of these words that people use. It's just not Christian. You say, well, you know, the world's doing it. Yeah, I know. That's a good indicator to me that I don't want to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is what the scripture says about being deceived and deceiving your own self. Look at verse number, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse number 33. Be not deceived. In other words, don't deceive yourself now. Evil communications. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You can't hang around with the wrong people in the wrong places and do the right things. Can't do it. So don't deceive yourself now. You say, oh, but I can do it, preacher. No, you can't. Well, no preacher going to tell me. This is not the preacher telling you. This is God telling you. You cannot be in the wrong place with the wrong people and do the right thing. Eventually, it's going to catch up with you. So don't deceive yourself and think, oh, I've got this. Oh, no. No. There's more than one tragic story that we all know of people who thought, I've got this. Don't become a statistic. Because you're arrogant and think you've got this, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. God giveth grace to the humble. Let's look at another one in 1 John. And then there's many of these that talk about deceiving yourself. 1 John chapter 1. Go through sometimes in the scripture and look at that phrase, deceiving yourself. Yes, the devil is a deceiver. And I'm going to tell on him. He's a deceiver, Mike. The devil's a deceiver. But we deceive ourselves in trying to make ourselves believe something that just isn't so. God's always right. I'm 56 years old, I've been saved for 35 years. And I've learned some things since I'm a Christian, but I believe one of the greatest things I've learned is God is always right. You say, well, you just now figuring that out? Well, I used to say it. Now I know it. There is a big difference. I used to say it because I heard other people say it. God's always right. I said, that sounds good. God's always right. Now I know it to be so. Amen. I've experienced it. God's never wrong. Never. God's never wrong. He's always right. God never makes a mistake. Listen, even when things look like, you know, what are you doing, God? I'm here to tell you before the God of heaven, God never makes a mistake. Never. He's never made one. He's never took a step out of time. Never. God's never had to say, uh-oh. Never. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. You go through the scripture and you'll find that little phrase, we deceive ourselves. Don't deceive yourselves. Don't be deceived. If any man think that he's something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Isn't that what Galatians says in chapter number 6? And then it goes on to say, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So don't deceive yourself in saying, I want to sow this but reap something different. No, you're not. No, I'm not. I'm going to reap what I've sown. So I need to quit trying to deceive myself and make myself think, well, it's going to be different than what God said. No, it's not. You see? And I just pray God would help me to learn this and God help you to learn this. It's going to be just the way God said it was going to be. So if any man, we go back to James, seem to be religious now. You say, well, I think I got this thing going in the right direction. But you're not bridling your tongue. Your religion is vain. Is that what the scripture said? Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It's empty. There's no purpose. There's no goal. And James said, that's a terrible way to live life. And you don't have to live your life that way. How does God want you to live out your life? How does God want you to live out your religion? It's a pure religion. Here's what he said in verse number 27. Pure religion. This is the religion we're looking for right here. This is the religion that God produces in the heart that's submissive. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. Number one, pure religion has a right relationship with God. So how do you know that? Where does it say that? Because it says the Father. You see, some people say, well, you know, God is the Father of all men. No, He's not. No, He's not. God is only the Father of those who have trusted His Son, Jesus Christ. See, God is our Father. Not everyone can call God their Father. Now, everyone can say God is their God because God is the Creator God. God has created all men. But this thing of the universal fatherhood of God is not taught in the Bible. See, God can be your God and not be your Father. If He's your Father, you'll know He's your God. See, Jesus said in John chapter 8, He looked at a group of people and He said, you're of your father, the devil. There's two spiritual fathers, God and Satan. And so He said, pure religion starts out with conversion, where you realize God is your Father and you are accountable to Him. Say, I'm accountable to God. I've been bought with a price. Hey, brethren, we're Christians. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. So what I say, I will give account to God for. What I do, I'm going to give an account to God for. What we do, how we live, it's before God. You see that? That's pure religion. Pure religion, verse number 27, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit. Would you just circle or highlight? And we'll go into a little bit more. But to visit, I want you to, sometime when you get home, how many of you have a Strong's Concordance? Raise your hand. Raise it real high. Hey, man, that's great. Go home and look this word up. It means to visit with a purpose to meet a need. Now, I'm not taking away from the Scripture here when I say I know what God said here, and I believe this is heavy on God's heart, and I believe it's primary in this verse of Scripture. Visit the widows and visit the orphans, the fatherless. But when we visit, we need to visit to meet a need. See, there was a day when people used to visit. Now listen to me. We've gotten away from that day. I don't know why. Okay, I don't know why. And I'm not talking about coming up here to the church and meeting and praying and then going out. I'm talking about people just walking across the street and visiting. Going down the road and just sitting on the front porch and visiting with people. We've gotten out of that. We've gotten out of building relationships with people. We're distant. We're busy. We're confused on what God wants us to do as we reach out and begin to impact and make a difference in people's lives. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit. Get your mind off of you, slow your life down, amen, and go visit somebody and help somebody. Get involved, get interested in somebody else's life. That's what he's saying. Now, it may be a widow. And if it is, I don't think you can go wrong there. Amen. It may be an orphan. It may be the fatherless. But it may be just a family that's struggling and hurting and searching. And God sends you by because you're there to meet a need and encourage them by opening up and breaking open the Word of God and just sharing some Scripture with them. You may lead somebody to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm all for church organized visitation. I'm all for that. And I think that folks ought to do that. But it wouldn't hurt. Listen, it wouldn't hurt for you just to decide, you know what, I'm going to go over and visit. Did you think that God was going to say something else? I got to tell you, I did. Had I covered up my Bible and read the first part of that, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to preach, amen. To sing beautiful hymns, wonderful arrangements, great special music. Pure religion and undefiled is this: to teach Sunday school, to work in the children's church. All that is good stuff. Amen. But then when I uncover and I look and it says to visit, I got to tell you, that's not what I expected. I think we got this thing turned around a little bit. We think this is it. No, this is just the edifying part. Remember Wednesday night? This is just preparing us so that when we do visit, we'll have something to meet the need with. Amen. You make a difference in somebody's life? Go visit them. You say, well, I've been waiting for somebody to come by and visit me. Well, isn't that something? The person that God wants you to go visit has been waiting on you to go visit them. Please don't sit under the sound of my voice tonight and think, well, I need to be visited. Think this way: I need to go visiting. I need to go visit somebody. You say, well, preacher, I am a widow. Widows, go visit somebody. Go visit. If it's anything like I found it to be in my visits, you will leave with a greater blessing than the one you went to visit got. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You go visit somebody and say, I'm going to try to lift this person up and encourage them. And you leave, I mean, tears running down your face like a baby. And you say, man, that was awesome. That was great. I got to do this more often. And the devil says, oh, man, I got to fight this. I can't get them out there visiting like that. He's enjoying this too much. Am I right, folks? He's getting too much out of this visiting stuff. He's going to start being somebody that's that's showing pure religion and undefiled, he's going to get somebody that's showing what really the kingdom's about. And that's getting interested in other people to meet their needs. Study that word. I guarantee it'll be a great blessing to you. Go visit. And yes, I think the greatest place to start, we've got great widows and we have the fatherless. And I think one of the greatest ministries of Fellowship Baptist Church is the bus ministry. And I think for most part, that covers for the most part a lot of the fatherless. I just do. There's nothing greater you can do than put a little money into the bus ministry. Put a little effort into the bus ministry. There's nothing greater you can do with your time or money than put it and invest it into the bus ministry. Nothing greater you can do than go by a widow's house and encourage them and sit down with them and talk with them. A family that's going through a difficult time. Nothing greater you can do than that. Nothing. Young people, you want a blessing? You want a blessing? Do you? You look like you need one. Hey, man, you want a blessing? Go visit somebody. Go visit somebody. Done my heart good to visit this family. John, done my heart good, buddy. Now I could tell that your family was encouraged from people who come by and showed their concern. It means something, doesn't it, buddy? It does. And you know what? Everybody could say what this young man said. Young people need visits too. Not just the aged and the elderly. Everybody needs a little encouragement. Everybody needs it. Pure religion and undefiled. Visit. Let's look at one more and I'll be through. Not only should we visit, but the Bible says that we should keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So we're to visit people, mainly widows, orphans, in their affliction, in their need, to try to help meet that need. Through words of encouragement, through whatever God leads us to do. And then we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. What's that mean? That means be consecrated. So there's three words that you need to remember there. Number one, before God and the Father, that's conversion. That's pure religion. To know that you're born again before God and the Father. Conversion. Number two, compassion. Go out and feel somebody's pain in your heart. That's what the compassion means. Dr. Ron Comfort taught me years ago, that's compassion, son. Your pain in my heart. I've never forgotten that. I'll never forget where I was when God wrung that in my heart. That's what I want. I want to be able to feel. I want to be able not to just sympathize with people. I want to empathize with people. I want to know what they're going through. I don't want to just be empty talk. I really want to feel what they're feeling so I can help minister to them at the place and time of their need. And I believe you do too. But in order to do that, we've got to go visit some folks. Boy, we've become just about homebodies, you know. We come home and sit down, and if we're not careful, we'll be done. Got to get up and go visit some people. Go visit. When's the last time you just went and visited somebody to help them? I don't mean to fellowship with them now. That's not what I'm talking about. Some of you's already got people lined up. We're going to visit this one and this one because they're going to cook us a good dinner. Amen. I'm not talking about that. Somebody's going to meet somebody after church tonight and say, hey, we're coming to visit y'all. You're going to go to the woman you think's the best cook in this church. Amen. I know you. I'm going to beat you to her. Honey, what's for supper tonight? Amen. No, visit. Go to somebody you know that's hurting and that needs some encouragement. Take a little of your time and go over there and just sit down with them and say, hey, I wanted to come by and see how things were going for you. It may be a complete stranger. Maybe somebody within the church. Maybe somebody without the church. Maybe somebody you work with. Maybe somebody in the community. Maybe somebody who's visited the church. Maybe somebody who's gotten out of church. Just go visit. Just go visit. You say, preacher, do you visit? I sure do. You visit as often as you should? No. No. I don't. I got a few other things going on, but that's no excuse. You visit. I'll visit. And if we all get to visiting, we might get more people visiting. Amen? And then stay unspotted from the world. This old world wants to taint you. All right? Wants to stamp you. Wants to mark you. Stay unspotted. You know the way to do that? Is look to Him that's without spot or blemish. Jesus Christ. You remember, Jesus is watching everything you do. Jesus is watching everything I do. He's listening to every conversation I have. Would you teach your children that? Children, just because mom and dad's not around, that doesn't mean somebody important's not listening. Jesus is listening. He's listening. And it's being recorded. It's being recorded. So you be careful now what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say, right? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down on us in love. Oh, be careful, you see? We need to be careful, don't we? Pure religion. Right there it is. Go visit somebody this week. Pray about it and say, God, who you want me to go visit? If you don't come up with somebody, call me. I'll give you somebody to go visit. But I believe if you pray, you don't have to call me. You know half a dozen or more people to go visit. There's people all around us in trouble. Am I right? Come on, folks. There's people all around us in trouble. But if we're not careful, the only people's trouble we'll be concerned about is our own. And that's not pure religion. Pure religion dies to self and opens up themselves to meet the needs of others. Let's all stand. It's undefiled, that pure religion is. It's that old-time religion, brethren. What's that old-time religion do? Makes you love everybody. Amen. I tell you, that songwriter had it down. That old-time religion makes you love everybody. That old-time religion can do a little twisting and squeezing and turning in your heart. And you can be all angry and upset at somebody, and God will begin to work, finger in your heart, and you'll go hug them on the neck, start weeping and crying and saying, I love you, brother. Or I love you, sir, and I'm concerned about your soul. That's real. That's pure religion. It's undefiled. Go visit. It'll change your life. Get your eyes off of you and what you need, and get your eyes on someone else, and begin to invest in other people's lives. It's a great way to live life. It's God's way. Let's bow for prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.